Hey everyone, before this podcast begins, we want to tell you about some other arts-related podcasts you're going to love. They are The Conduit Music Podcast, Artsville, Gringo and the Man, Art World Horror Stories, and Not Real Art. On these action-packed podcasts, you'll hear experts talk about creativity, design, the music biz, the art world, visual art, American craft, Chicano art, street art, graffiti, and even stand-up comedy. So be sure to find and follow these great arts podcasts today. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Hello, this is Siri, and you're listening to my favorite podcast, Not Real Art. I live for this shit because it's totally lit.
Not Real Art, the podcast.
Man one over here. And over there is...
Make up a name.
Are you still... Oh, man. You can't think of a name that quick.
No, just call me Mr. X.
Mr. X for right now.
For right now, that's what I'll be today.
Yeah. We'll stick with that.
So there's a big show happening in L.A. right now.
Yeah,
At least that's what the billboards say. And the ads at LAX and so on and so forth. And you and I went to it.
That's right. We were there.
For the
VIP opening?
VIP. Boy, we are fancy.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Beyond the Streets.
Yep.
Curated by Mr. Gassman, Roger Gassman. Author, historian, filmmaker, and he curated the Art in the Streets show, or helped to curate.
Yeah, one of the three curators.
Back at MoCA years ago, and has decided to create another show, kind of inspired by that same model, I would say.
Totally.
And I don't know, you and I were there. A lot of people were there.
Right.
It's open for... I don't know, until
2 months.
July or something.
Yeah.
And it's about 40. Well, how many square feet is that building?
I don't know. It's
20,000 square feet at least.
No, I think more than that.
Yeah,
probably
maybe
40,
I heard 40,000.
Yeah, feet. Maybe something like that.
Okay, 40,000 square feet.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah. And so what were you expecting? Like, you know, going, we'll talk about the show. We'll talk about, you know, obviously what we thought or what have you. Good, bad, and indifferent. I can talk, you know, in terms of obviously my experience, but as an artist, I'm curious, you know, what your thoughts were going into the show.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts at the show? And then, of course, after the show, as you've continued to process it and think about it, if you have.
Right.
You know, what's your assessment?
Well, I mean, when I go to a show like this, I don't have a lot of expectations going into it.
Yep.
I don't, you know, I'm a, you know, once in a while there's like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see so-and-so's piece, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or I heard there's a new installation, blah, blah, blah. This one, I didn't really have anything I was looking forward to seeing. It kind of felt like, you know, I'm probably going to recognize everything in there. I'm probably going to already have seen it, or be a new take on something that I've already seen. And that was pretty much how I felt about it once I saw the show. You know, it was a fun show. I think that's my best way to describe it. I had a lot of fun there. I thought the art was fun. There was a lot of playful stuff. There was a lot of color. There was a lot of big things. You know,
mm-hmm.
Interesting things. So yeah. So in terms of that, I think it was a fun show. You know, it was like a big party. You know, it's like when you go to a party, and then someone tells you, "Oh, how was the DJ?" or you know, "How was the lighting?" or and you're like, "I don't know. It was just fun." You know,
right?
Like I didn't go there to fucking be mesmerized by the DJ, but of course that would have been a different party, right? If I would have gone to the party because.
Sure.
So-and-so was spinning and I wanted to, you know, be moved by that DJ, and that didn't happen, then I would have felt, oh man, they let me down. But I didn't go with that expectation. I went with the expectation of just going to have a good time, you know, just check it out, have a good time and enjoy what's up and enjoy the experience. And that's, to me, that's what it was. It was a big party. It was a big, well put together party, you know, very well organized,
Three years in the making, I heard.
That's what I heard too, yeah. And even though it was 3 years in the making, I know there was a lot of artists that were thrown in last minute.
Right.
That always happens, you know. That's usual. But I wasn't expecting to see people that I've never seen before or expecting to see people that, you know, like I wasn't going, you know. For example, you know, at the Art in the Street show in Mocha, to me that was a different thing. Because that was like, it's a museum making a statement. And I was very critical of that show because I was like, there's people who need to be in the show to represent this culture. And they're important. And they were left out, you know. But that was a whole different thing. This is just a show. So I'm not critiquing it from that point of view. I'm not critiquing it from the point of view, oh, you guys didn't have so-and-so in the show or, you know.
It wasn't an academic exercise.
No, it was not academic at all. This is not the fucking next coming of fucking
right.
Street art or whatever the fuck, you know. This is just a big show with a bunch of artists who are all, for the most part, pretty good or very good. I will say that was one of the things that I did enjoy about the show is there wasn't a lot of, like, really whack shit. You know, because sometimes you're like, man, this motherfucker, what is he doing here? It's horrible.
Right.
You know?
Right.
This show was actually, you know, in that sense, there was a very high quality, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But in terms of curation, it's not really a curatorial show. It's not making a, someone was trying to tell me at the show, like, oh, you know, I don't think the curator's making the right statement or really expressing his statement properly. And I was like, you're thinking way too much about this show. Like, you're trying to get way too deep into this show. I just enjoyed it for what it was. And I definitely encourage people to go see it. I think it's a fun show. I think it's, you know, I don't know what it costs to get in. But
I think it's $25.
So, you know, is it worth $25? Well, there's people going to fucking those Instagram fucking museums where they're just like
the immersive experience.
Yeah, the immersive experience where you get to take a million selfies in front of, you know, ice cream fucking sculptures or something. And they're paying $30 for that. So if you're willing to pay $30 for that, then yeah, go see an art show for $25 to get in. Sure. Sounds like it makes sense.
Well, walking the show with you, it was nice to see how many people were happy to see you there. I mean, you ran into a ton of old friends.
Yeah, it's going to those events. I love them and I hate them because I love them because, you know, you get to see old friends, you get to see new work, you get to, you know, fucking chop it up with people that you don't get to talk to a lot. But then I hate it because there's so many people I want to talk to. There's so many new people I want to talk to. There's so many, you know, old friends that I want to talk to. And there's just not enough time. You know, we were there like 2 hours and, you know, I was just talking to people left and right. You can't even enjoy the art sometimes. You try to check out a piece of art and the next thing you know, someone's asking you this or that, which is fine and you expect that. But yeah, it's a weird thing. And it was funny because people were coming up to me like, oh, why aren't you in the show? You know, where's your piece at? I'm like, no, I'm not in the show. I didn't get the invite. So, you know, and then that's a weird thing, you know, because it puts you in a weird situation because you're there as an artist, but you're also there.
How does that, I mean, let's go there. I mean, how does that feel? I mean, let's be frank, right? I mean, a lot of those artists. Right. Showed at your gallery for the first time in 2003, 2004.
Right.
And some of them have broken out and others haven't or whatever, but several of them were in this show. You were not in this show.
Sure.
How does that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel two different ways at the same time. Number one, I'm really happy to see a lot of my friends and a lot of artists that I, you know, gave a hand to, or a leg up, you know, back in the day. And then now to see them so successful and showing at things like this, that to me, that's awesome. I love it. Like the, you know, I always tell people that before I'm a graffiti artist, I'm a fan, you know, I'm a graffiti sure. fan first. So a lot of these artists getting to see them like now being successful is awesome. I love it. At the same time, you think about like, damn, how come I didn't get the invite? How mm-hmm. come no one called me to be in the show? Am I, you know,
it's politics though, right?
Well, it's, you know, it's totally politics. But at the same time, that doesn't mean it's negative. Like, you know, I know Roger and, you know, we've been on panels together and, I know what he's up to. He knows what I'm up to. If he thought I should be in this show, I'm sure he would have called me, and he didn't. So that's it. I don't take it as a personal thing. I don't take it as a, you know, I also curate, you know, I've curated shows where I'm sure people came into my show and were like, oh man, how come he didn't invite so-and-so. So as a curator, you have to make decisions and you have to, you know, you know, you're in command and you get to choose why someone's in the show as opposed to someone else. But you also have to be able to defend it, you know? And sometimes there's not a good defense and sometimes there is, you know? So, you know, would I have liked to have been in the show? Of course, you know, any show that, is gaining this much, attention as an artist, your ego wants you to be in the show, you know? Am I missing out on anything by not being in the show? I don't think so. I'm comfortable with the lane that I'm in. And you know, I don't need to be in every show. But you know, yeah, once in a while, it's like, it'd be nice to someone throw a bone at you.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, logistically, the show was, in my view, impressive as hell.
Totally. Yeah.
The scale of it, you know, we heard that it was 3 years in the making. Totally makes sense. You know, the gift shop alone in terms of the merchandise. Well, no, let me boil it down for the book alone. Right. The book.
Right. The book. Well, I thought the book was interesting because, you know, since the show, I got the book. I really was happy to walk around and get people to sign my book.
Right.
People that I'll probably never see again, you know, Taki 183 or mm-hmm. a lot of these old New York legends that mm-hmm. were in the house and whatever. So that was awesome. So for me, it was more just like, you know, it's always cool to have a book, like a catalog of the show. But, you know, I started reading through it and kind of reading some of the stories and whatever. And it was interesting because there's only a few new articles in there, only a few new interviews.
Right.
The majority of it.
It's a compilation of old stuff.
It's totally a compilation.
Yeah.
And even on the front of the book, it says compiled by right. Roger Gassman. So, he, you know, it's, I think, you know, I mean, that's the smart way to do it, right? It's like if you're going to.
Well, and even, but to be fair, right? Yeah. I mean, just as a comp, when you look at the size of that book.
Yeah.
You look, it's color throughout.
Yep.
Just from a production standpoint.
Yeah, very high production.
Getting that file together, getting that book together. Absolutely. And the images and the printing. I mean, that alone was a huge endeavor.
Yeah, totally.
And so, right. I mean, on one hand, I'm sure someone said, oh, we'll just compile
yeah.
stuff. It'll be easy.
It'll be easy. No, it's not easy.
I mean, it might be easier than yeah.
Than all new content.
Than, yeah, but writing a whole new book. But it, the book alone was a feat of logistical, you know, competence. And I mean, look, it's a solid book.
Totally. No, I think it's, you know, it shows kind of the level of professionalism and the level of, you know, expertise that Roger has, especially in productions like this, you know?
Sure.
Because yeah, I mean,
well, this is his fourth or fifth book too, right? I mean,
he's done probably way more books yeah, than okay. that. He's done so many books.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, even though he's done a lot of books, I mean, it's still not an easy thing to put a book together.
Not at all.
So anytime someone is, you know, producing books like this, you know, my hat's off to them, because that's
well, a point of contact. Yeah. I've worked in publishing for 10 years, right? So I've got, I don't know, 60 books under my belt.
Right.
I've written 5 books.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate.
Sure.
And by the way, our books were primarily black and white.
Right.
You know, 4 color covers, black and white, maybe some illustrations. But I mean, the book that the Beyond the Streets book that he put together was, you know, I mean, how many pages is that damn thing? I mean, it's.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know, a couple hundred pages.
Full color.
Full color, larger format.
Yeah.
So yeah, I, you know, having worked in publishing, I appreciate, you know, the, so that's what struck me though about the show is the size of it, the scale of it,
right?
The logistics behind it.
Sure.
I mean, people need to understand that, there were very site specific installations built on site, replicas of handball courts, replicas of skate parks from Venice Beach, for example. So a lot of thought, a lot of energy, a lot of money put into the fabrication, well, the design, the thinking, the design, the fabrication, installation of these interactive pieces, right? You know, that was, it was immersive, it was experiential. I mean, these words now, we bump into them all the time.
Yeah.
It feels like we're living in this selfie times, generation, selfie generation. And so having, you know, experiential immersive installations that, you know, people can take a selfie with is the thing. So we're seeing that now kind of come into the art world, so to speak. And the show, definitely, you know, borrowed that, you know, currency and, and what have you. You know, my issue with the show, and, you know, let me be clear, like I think the show gets, you know, A plus marks in terms of, the level of detail, the, like I said, the logistics, I mean, the gift shop alone, the merch, the, you know, all that stuff, you know, all high marks, you know, but I think for me, the negative was, it was as I've, and this thought occurred to me afterwards, you know, thinking about it, it's like, I wasn't like surprised.
Yeah.
There was nothing really there that surprised me. There was some novelty there. There was some things that were kind of novel, you know, risks,
cool stuff.
You know, cutting a cop car in half, you know, was something to behold and fun. And, you know, was it revolutionary in terms of a new take on an art form? Yeah, you know, who knows? It's debatable. I'm not that smart. I can't, you know, debate those things.
Sure.
But so, and you know, there were some fun novel pieces there that I, you know, that made me smile, that made me, you know, point and laugh and take a photo or whatever. But in hindsight, as I've, you know, kind of thought about the show the last few days, I don't know that there was anything truly unexpected about it.
Right. And the other thing, not only just not unexpected, but, and this is, I think this is a bigger issue going on right now with the context of what street art is and the growth and the mainstreaming of this type of art form and graffiti and everything, is that I think there's a lot of lack of substance in artwork being created right now, just in general, you know, just generally speaking. You know, there's, whereas before, you know, the difference between, you know, highbrow and lowbrow, right, was highbrow was super critical and thinking and blah, blah, blah.
Cerebral.
And then, you know, it was called lowbrow because, you know, you didn't have to fucking think. And it was just cool, whatever. Well, now we're at a point where the art is being elevated to a form of or to a status, a different status, where now it's supposed to be looked at in a critical way. It's supposed to be looked at in a cerebral way, but the content is not there. And the subject matter is falls flat if you look at it that way.
Right.
You know? And so is that part of like where we are in society? Is that the problem? You know, is that we have
in our soundbite culture, right?
So no, it's like, yeah, it's like, is it reflecting the times? I guess is what I'm trying to say. Is it reflecting? Is this art reflecting the times, or is this art? Because to me, this art was always ahead of the times.
Yeah,
you know, definitely it was in the times because you're calling out stuff and you're making people think in that way. But it's ahead of the times because you're providing hope, or you're providing something that's not out there already. But you know, so I think in that sense, it's hard to have shows like this because, for example, a few months ago or whenever it was, they had that Into Action show.
Yep.
And that was curated with a very specific point of view, very politically minded pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And that show,
activist,
very activist.
Yeah.
And I really liked that show because you walked in and there was an experience. It wasn't, sure, there were some pieces that would make great selfies and whatever, but there was really a lot of thinking, and you could see it. And you, I mean, I saw people really looking at the work like, oh wow, I'm taking it in,
right?
You know, oh, I'm trying to read it, I'm trying to make this out.
It was saying something.
It was saying something, as opposed to this show. There might be some artists that are trying to say something, but it gets lost. It gets lost in the whole vanity of it.
Yeah.
And so that's the part that, you know, if you're trying to look at it from a, you know, from a higher point of view in terms of what's the landscape of art right now,
mm-hmm.
well, they were in a selfie generation, and that's evident.
So, and this, I think, was a great, I want to explore the conversation at another time.
Yeah.
About, is street art the new pop art? You know,
right.
To the extent that pop art is about popular culture and,
yep.
you know, accessible, light fare, if you will, you know, cotton candy, cultural yeah. cotton candy.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an interesting kind of thing to think about. Not right now. We're out of time.
Yeah. It's not real art.
Man one in the house.
See you later, bro.
All right. Late.
Peace out. We'll be right back.